Accession number 30399, Mr. Bill Parr, Real 5. Now, before we go on with your time with the regiment, we want to drop in something that, since our last visit, you've remembered about a lone German air raid on the thing. Could you tell us about that? Because it sounded quite a good story.
It was a Saturday morning. Sunshine, great. Now, being a small turning, Brograve Road, leading down to a coal depot, there's always horse and carts in and out. But this particular morning, there was, I remember it distinctly, I'm standing on the corner of Brograve and Station, outside Mrs. Brazier's. She was a Geordie woman, great. Looking at my house, opposite. In Brograve Road, I remember distinctly, was a guy, he was a vegetable, he was called Jew Jack. Nobody ever knew his name, he had a little awesome cart, Jew Jack. Price's Baker, United Dairies, now these are all horse-drawn vehicles, and there was one other, Price's Baker, John Bauman, the milkman. He had a two-wheel float where you used to step on and off the back. He was our local man, John Bauman. Now, I heard this plane, and for some unknown reason, I looked to my right, and coming up from the bottom of Brograve Road, which you couldn't see the part because you had the ground of the Eagle Pencil coming from the back of it, you know, the back of the Eagle Pencil come right to the edge of Brograve Road at the end, so the park was maybe 150 yards further on back from where I could see this plane, lone German make, I don't, it might have been a Messerschmitt or what.
A fighter,
oh yes, a lone fighter. He's come up from the park, as he's machine gunned the whole of Brograve Road, which wasn't much, 100 yards, and he was gone. And I've stood there. No one was hit. No car or vehicle was hit, but he was machine gunning. And that was brought to mind by my friend Georgie Maskell. I happened to phone him, and he said, I was in the park, Bill. He said, I was in the park when that come up on a bike. He said, I pedalled and the chain come off. He said, and he's dropped the bike and run. Ah, that's great, yeah.
And you think that's about 1943, you're not
about
sure.
43, no, it was the end of the, because we used to watch all the dogfights on the corner of Brograve and Station, you know, but there was none of that. It was just his lone fighter. Where he got lost, I don't know, but it really frightened me at the time. And Mrs. Brazier come out, and she come out, and she screamed when she see me standing there after it was all happening, you know, it was gone.
Now, we now go back to Azizia, barracks Tripoli.
Tripoli,
you know.
Yeah.
Now, you were there, you reckon, from August 51 to November 51.
We wasn't at Azizia, we'd moved on to Prin barracks.
Now, where's that?
Still in Tripoli, but away further out, and we was under canvas.
Was it called barracks still?
No, it was Prin. It was called barracks, but there was no barracks
there.
It
was just PRIN.
Yeah, PRINN, Prin Barracks. And we was under canvas there. It was laid out as a camp, you know, like a barracks, but there was no concrete buildings there, just canvas. We was there, as I said, until November.
Now, anything happened there?
Not really, no. No, it was there that we went up. We was doing a lot of digging, carrying on up to Tahuna in the hills.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, yeah, and it was from there that we did that, you know. But there was nothing except army stuff, you know, parades and all that, which I liked anyway. I didn't mind that. But there was no sort of training as such.
Now, the next thing is, you mentioned last time that you moved in, you went on an advance party. Now, tell us all about that.
Yeah. We flew to Egypt. We was the advance party of the Cameron Highlanders.
Now, what do you remember about the flight? Because flights are pretty... Was
nothing
your
at
first
all.
Flight?
No. I've flown before. Far better than sea crossing. It was quicker. Like, you know, I didn't like sea crossings here, especially down in the holes where you bunked and all that. You know.
Now, where were you going to? Cairo to?
Where did we land? I don't honestly know where we landed, but our first base was at Moesca. Moesca was our first base. Then we moved to Ismailia, and from there we moved to Tel El Kebir. I didn't like that very much. It was more.
Now,
of
hang on. Let's take Moesca first. What were you doing with the advance? What was the role of the advance party? Do you see what I mean?
Well, nothing really. We were sort of established ourselves there, and sort of that was it. And I couldn't see no point, except that we was doing roadblocks, because at the time NASA was trying to block the canal. We was doing roadblocks, and I remember one time we was taken to Port Said.
Now, is this while you were still with the advance party?
Yeah. We was taken to Port Said, a little group of us, and we was unloading a merchant ship with oranges. We'd never seen oranges for months and months, so these oranges, we were unloading boxes of them. And it was there that one of the Camerons, we was... Now, this is where Bill Hands would come in now, because he would tell you more than what I would about this. One of the Camerons, when we was ordered ashore, whether he heard it or not, I don't know. But he was left, when the boat was pulling out, he was left hanging over the side. Yeah, but Bill would tell you more about that than I can.
Was it hard work getting all these? I mean, these ships have an enormous amount of stuff on them.
No, we was fit anyway, you know, and it was a break from doing what we was doing, guard duties and all that, you know.
What about the roadblocks? What were they like?
Well, funny enough, we lost a few Camerons on these roadblocks. They was more like terrorists anyway. What
so how would you set a roadblock up? You know, take it from the start.
Well, we never set them up. We just done our guard duty on them. Like,
so they
you
were
know.
Already established?
Oh, they was already established there, yeah. Yeah, and we just done our guards on them, our duties on them, that's all. And right beside the canal, really, they was. But it came... We came when
and
the battalion.
Did you stop all the traffic? Or what did you actually
oh
do?
Oh, yeah, we had to stop them. Yeah. And I think we lost two or three at one time there, Cameron Highlanders, that was blown up and shot. Yeah.
Were you doing vehicle? What were you actually doing?
Vehicle searches. And that's what sort of. It didn't go down well with me. It wasn't soldiering, really. It was like policing, you know, and I couldn't get my head round that. But it came more interesting.
How far would you search a vehicle? Do you see what I mean? I mean, you know, there's different ways of searching them. You can take it to bits almost.
Oh, no. Just open the boot, have them out, and just open the boot and go through their things, like, you know, bags and pieces and that. We never even done a search of the personnel, what we got out of the vehicle. So they could have been carrying anything, but, you know.
And... What happened with the casualties you suffered during that? I mean, you weren't there, obviously, but...
Oh, no.
What did you hear had happened?
No, we just heard they were killed. That's all. You don't take much stock of that when you're in the army, and if somebody's killed, that's your stock in trade, really, like, you know, life and death. But that's what I think about it, anyway. And it is your stock in trade, life and death. You've got to just get on with it. But it got more interesting when the battalion came and we moved
now
to Tel El Kebir.
So you'd been at Moesca and Ismailia. Now, what were you doing? Anything else you were doing at Moesca and Ismailia?
No, nothing at all. Just our presence, that's all I think it was.
Now, what happened when you moved into Tel El Kebir barracks?
Well, there was It wasn't actually a barracks, really. We was under canvas, and the parade ground was just divided by, say, a 3-foot fence from different regiments. That's all that divided us. And we was next, I remember once we was next to the guards, Grenadier guards it was next to us. Bearing in mind there was only a 3-foot wire fence dividing our parade ground from the guards. And we had an RSM, Bill will confirm, Agnew his name was, and he was like a little pit bull. All he was, he'd grab you by the throat and bite the jugular vein. But a great guy. And he had us kilts on this day, although it was hot, kilts on. It was only a RSM's parade, used to love them. And the guards, I remember distinctly, their RSM stopped them. And he told them to watch us doing it properly. Great, that made me day. Good. That was real good. Tell all could be. RSM Agnew, Cameron Highlander, great guy. And it was on one of the RSM's parades. We never reigned there long. Well, I never anyway, nor did Bill Hands. It was one RSM parade. And at the end of the parade, he asked for 50 volunteers from the Cameron Highlanders.
Now, hang on, this is when you're going to leave the unit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what was life like? Well, I want to talk a bit about, because we haven't interviewed many who were at Teller. What was the camp like? It was a camp more than the barracks, really, wasn't it?
It was a camp, that's all it was.
What was it like in the tents?
Terrible. We used to up them. You had the four sides lifted up during the day. The flies. I just couldn't get over the flies. And we had crabs. I'm sad to say.
Flies first. Why were the flies such a nuisance?
The flies, and the cookhouse was in the open. The flies, and what we called shite hawks. They were scavengers. Big birds, scavengers, shite hawks. And they'd be up there watching you all the time for scraps, and they'd be down like vultures. They was like little vultures, they was. And,
So, why were the flies such a bother? Did you not just ignore them?
No. You see an Arab, he'd have a fly switch all the time round him, wouldn't he? Flying himself, like, you know. And...
I mean, why were they so bad?
I don't know.
Just so many of them?
Yeah. Well, the place was filthy. Camels shite everywhere, like, you know. Even the camels had fringes, fly fringes on them. You know, that was terrible. And it was more interesting because we used to go out on what we call killer patrols.
Hang on. Before we go to that, what about the crabs? Now, they take treats as a venereal disease, aren't they?
No. It's it gets in the pubic hairs. And they are actually a crab caught from blankets. Caught from the blankets you're issued with. And they are actually a white crab.
How big are they?
Not quite the size of a pinhead. You know a pinhead? Not quite the size of that. But what we used to do was get in the ablutions. You used to get a pin and you used to pick them out under your flesh, and that was white, actually white crabs. But funny enough, we used to get shaved off, and we used to get issued with blue unction. I don't know if you know that. It was when you was children as well. If you had scabies round the mouth, you would get the nurse at school would put blue unction on it, you know. And that's what we used to get issued with from the MO, blue unction. And the thing was, we met some Royal Naval ratings. We may have been having, well, I think we was having a drink, not in a bar, but in a tent, sort of a naffy thing, you know. And these Royal Navy lads were there. And, because obviously when you shave, you grow and you itch. You can't help scratching. It does itch. When the hair's growing, you're scratching away, and they happen to notice us scratching. We've got crabs? Yeah. We've got blue unction on? Yeah. He said, you're way out of date. So how comes? He said, all we have, he said, we don't shave. He said, we are issued with, now funny how I can remember this, it's a powder called AL63. He says, and all we do is shake it on, he said, and watch them drop off. And there's us getting shaved, we had all blue unction all round our bottom half and scratching.
Did you get some ales? I mean, were you able to get any?
No.
You had to put up with it.
Yeah, we had to put up with it. Yeah.
Any other problems you had there?
What I found, once you had a sore, if you had an open wound at all, it was very hard to heal up. It really was.
Now, they called them desert sores in the Second World War. Yeah, were they like?
There's a photo. You've seen that photo in the children's bed with my arm done up.
Wrapped up.
Bandaged. Yeah, well, that was there. That was.
So what were these sores like?
It wasn't actually a sore. What I'd done, I stuck a bayonet in there. My own bayonet. Like, you know, I was like this and it went, oop! And it took months to heal up. It really, and it used to smell as well. I mean, the desert sores that some of the lads did, you used to smell them, and they used to smell rank, they did, you know.
Was there no treatment?
Well, they used to treat it, but it just wouldn't heal up. Whether your blood was so thin, being in the heat, you know, which it does, takes a long time to heal up. But that was the only problem there, was the heat and the flies.
Now,
and not enough to do, really.
So I was going to ask, what were you doing when you were in Kabir?
But all we was doing roadblocks.
Just That's more of the same.
More of the same, and it's so boring it was.
Were you aware of what was going on in Egypt?
Not really.
The political situation. Had you been briefed on it? What did you think?
Oh, yes, we had. But besides the roadblocks, Tel El Kabir was a big, big compound. And it used to hold tanks, lorries, half tracks. It was a massive, massive compound. And we used to, that was one of our duties, was to patrol out of a night time. And also the Royal Military Police used to use the dogs in there as well. And at one time, it comes to mind now, we heard and seen somebody climb into a tank cut, get on the turret and climb in. We heard, you know. Right. You don't do nothing because you know the MPs are walking around with their dogs. Now, an army dog is totally different from a police dog. An army dog will sooner kill you as look at you anyway. And we told these two MPs that there's somebody in the tank. I think it was a Centurion tank. It must have been, yeah. Anyway, they didn't mess about. I don't know if you could put this on there or not, but all they'd done was, all right, Jock, leave it to us. They opened the tank and just chucked the dog in. And the screams that were coming out of that tank, you never know. I was really sorry, I told him. I'd have sooner opened the tank and shot the guy, like, you know. Yeah, you can imagine what the dog was doing to the geezer. He's like a rag doll. Oh, terrible. Yeah, but that was the only thing.
Were there many attempts by that?
That was all the time. Now, we used to go out on killer patrol.
Now, what's killer patrol?
Right, now, anything that moves, kill it. They shouldn't be in the area anyway. But what they used to do, now, this was the Cameron Highlanders. I don't know about any other regiment. We used to go out of a night time at last light in a little 15 underweight, 3/4 truck, drop us off, Bren gun, and an Egyptian. Big hook nose, I remember this one. Big hook nose he had, all the robes, like Lawrence. Right. And it was the first time I had a fright of my life. we used to just scurry out a little bit of shallow, that's all we used to do, and lay in it and get ourselves down. And out of the blue, have you ever seen a camel foot when it hits the ground? It's like a massive big sponge. How have it never trodden us? I don't know. It's gone right by my head, and there's a big sponge like that of a foot, and you don't hear it at all walking along. What the? And I was ready to get up. He said, hold on. He went, no, you know, he just held me down. He said, this Arab, let him go, let him go. And he was caught up further on. Yeah, and that was one of the highlights. But our object was, anything that moved, you kill it, because they aren't supposed to be where you are.
You were inside the perimeter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You aren't supposed to, they're not supposed to be where you are. But these, this guy with a camel, I heard they got him further up, you know, when he was walking on. I mean, he may have had explosives with him on the camel and or anything like that, you know. But they are so quiet and silent, them camels. They really are. How it never squashed me head with its foot. I can see it. There is a massive big sponge and it was a foot. And as it goes down, it sort of spreads out. Oh, no.
Any other duties you would do? So there's guarding the compound, roadblocks, killer patrols around the compound, I mean, inside.
And I think it was the governor's. We went on once. I didn't like it much. It was the governor's house, I think it was. We had to do a stint there of a night time. He was having a bit of a party there, you know. And we was just... We had our kilts on and that, and... we used to wear putties out there, the bandages, with our hose, our khaki hose, bandages and boots, and just a shirt like this, you know, with the epaulettes up. And we used to stand in the shadows, that's all. There was no sort of giving salutes and all that when anyone walked in. You was there, just standing there, like, you know, in the shadows.
In case anything happened.
In case anything happened. Watching, you was near enough to watch them go in, yet, you know, but they couldn't see you, but you could see them. But that's, and that got so boring, like, I thought, this ain't me, like, you know.
Did you get to go out around, it's Cairo, isn't it, around
yeah,
Cairo?
No, no.
Not at all?
No, not at all, no.
Was that because of the troubles?
Yeah.
So you were confined to camp?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you didn't visit the pyramids either?
Oh, no, no, it's nothing like that. No, no, it weren't a holiday. No, you was on alert all the time. Even if you did go out, you carried your 303 with you anyway.
Did you come under fire at all? You? I mean, I know you had some casualties out there. But
oh, no, no.
So you were lucky?
Never, never come under fire. No, not at all.
What were the rations like that you were getting, you know, there?
Oh, they was all right. I can't really remember what was, but you never moaned about the food, like, you know. Well, I never anyway, because... And the tea. I remember the tea with the bromide in it.
Now, did you that know it had got bromide in it?
Yeah, the taste. You knew straight away it was the taste. But it never done much for you anyway. it was the taste. You could taste it straight away. Oh, it was vile.
Now, to take us to this RSM's patrol, he asks for volunteers, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. Saturday morning, RSM's patrol, parade. At the end of the parade, he asked for 50 volunteers to volunteer for the Black Watch. Now, he did tell us they was going to Korea. The 1st Battalion Watch was in Germany at the time. They was coming home to Crail in Fife, and there was 50 volunteers from our famous regiment, with his words. For the second time, I remember him saying, for the second time, they've asked for our help. Now, the first time, if you don't mind me going on, the first time was in the Ashanti Wars. And the Black Watch had asked the Cameron Highlanders to let them have, I think it was two officers, I'm not sure, and a platoon of men. to help them out of trouble. Now, maybe this may be not interesting, but that is the reason when you see a piper, a Black Watch piper, in full Highland dress, full number ones, his cross belt, if you notice, he will wear, besides his own Black Watch, he will wear a Cameron cap badge on that. That is out of respect of what went on in the Ashanti Wars. Yeah. So anyway...
why did you, because you obviously did, why did you volunteer?
I was browned off. I was browned off with Tel El Kebir. I weren't doing the soldiering that I'd love to do. And Korea sounded all right. I never even knew where it was. I'd never heard of it before. It could be the end of the earth, which it was really. But that's beside the point.
Did you know about the war?
No. We never knew about the war. And that's the God's truth. Although it had been on since the 50s. July, yeah, when the Argyles, they was in Hong Kong, they were the first to go there without any equipment, really, and the Middlesex Regiment, they went there, they was the first, but we never, as they say, the forgotten war, it was then, and most of it still is now, but beside the point, we volunteered, and Bill Hands, come on, we go, and, we came home on the Fowey. No, was it the Fowey? I'm sure it was the Fowey we came home on. Yeah.
Not too much.
Yeah.
You'd gone out on the Empire Orwell.
Oh, the Orwell, yeah, the old
that
Orwell.
That was the one
yeah.
you went out on. That's so the one I went out on. The Fowey you came back on.
I think it was the Fowey, yeah, because I came home. I was on the Fowey twice. Twice I was on the Fowey. Last time was when I was coming home wounded from Japan.
So it must have been, unless you went out to Japan on it, out to Korea on it.
Mm. I can't fetch it. Bill might know.
So we'll just do, so you came Bill back to, d- to England, or
yeah.
Scotland. Perhaps,
Scotland, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Anything about that voyage, or was it just, that was, now that'd be November.
Just can't remember
no,
that one.
No,
can't,
when would that
just
be?
Can't.
After Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When would it be?
Yeah, that was... Because we moved out from Prin Barracks in November.
Of course you did, sorry.
And March, April. It may have been April sometime. April.
52.
I think it was April 52. Yeah, I'm not sure the dates or even the month when we came... When we came back from Tel El Kebir and we went to Scotland.
Now, where did you go to in Scotland?
Crail in Fife.
Crail?
Crail. C-R-A-I-L. Crail. Fife.
So you'd get back there in April, roughly?
Yeah, roughly in April.
Was that where you... Who was there?
Well, it's that, well, the Black Watch was already there when we...
First time.
We was at, yeah. They'd already arrived from Germany and set up, you know. And our little contingent, Cameron's, followed.
And there were about 70 of you?
50.
50
they
what
wanted.
What sort of reception did you get from them? You know, I mean, they're different battalion and different
oh,
regiment.
Oh, no. No, they're good. Scots, yeah. There's not much... What I found, there's not much jealousy between, because you're all Scots anyway, like, you know. And Cameron Highlanders and Black Watch, they went together, like ham and eggs, really.
So there's no problem?
No problem at all, no.